Gospel for the sixth Sunday after Pentecost, from St. Mark. At that time, when there was great multitude with Jesus, and they had nothing to eat, calling his disciples together, he saith to them, I have compassion on the multitude, for behold, they have now been with me 3 days, and have nothing to eat. And if I shall send them away fasting to their home, they will faint in the way, for some of them came from afar off. And his disciples answered him, From whence can anyone fill them with bread here in this wilderness? And he asked them, How many loaves have ye? Who said, Seven. And he commanded the multitude to sit down upon the ground, and taking the 7 loaves, giving thanks, he broke, and gave to his disciples to set before them. And they set before the people, and they had a few little fishes, and he blessed them, and commanded them to be set before them. And they did eat and were filled, and they took up that which was left of the fragments, 7 baskets. And they that had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. In nomine Patris et Filii Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum, benedicta tu miliaribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus. Santa Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen. In nomine Patris et Filii Spiritus Sancti. Amen. From the Venerable Bede, Explanation of the Gospel. In those days, when there was a great multitude, and they had nothing to eat, calling his disciples together, he saith to them, I have compassion on the multitude, for behold, they have now been with me. In this lesson, we must consider, in one and the same Redeemer, the separate operation of his divinity and his humanity, and the error of Eutyches, who dared to teach that in Christ there is but one operation, must be wholly driven forth from the Christian lands. Who is there who does not see that the Lord, in having compassion on the multitude, lest they faint from want of food or from the weariness of the long journey home, was moved by the compassion of human pity, but that to feed 4,000 men from 7 loaves and a few fishes is a work of divine power. Mystically, however, we are shown by this miracle that we cannot pass in safety along the road of this present life unless the grace of the Redeemer nourishes us by the food of his word. As figures, there is, however, a difference between the meal given here and that of the 5,000 loaves and 2 fishes, because the letter of the Old Testament, full of spiritual grace, is signified, but here the reality and the grace of the New Testament, which is to be ministered to the faithful, was pointed out to us. Either meal took place upon a mountain, St. John, as the accounts of the other evangelists make clear. For the scriptures of either testament, rightly understood, declare to us the sublimity of the heavenly precepts and the rewards. And each with unceasing voice proclaims the sublimity of Christ, who is the mountain of the house of the Lord on the top of the mountains, Isaiah. For he who has uplifted the city built upon himself, that is the house of the Lord, the church, to the sublimity of the works of mercy, and made it known to all the Gentiles, and, withdrawn from earthly delights, now nourishes it with the bread of heaven, and kindles in it the desire for heavenly delights by means of this gift of spiritual food. And if I send them away fasting to their homes, they will faint in the way. The evangelist Matthew explains more fully why the multitude continued for 3 days with the Lord. He says, Going up into a mountain, he sat there, and there came to him great multitudes, having with them the dumb, the blind, the lame, the maimed, and many others, and they cast them down at his feet, and he healed them. St. Matthew. The multitude had therefore remained with the Lord for the healing of their sick, as each of the elect, shining in the faith of the Holy Trinity, makes urgent, unceasing supplication to the Lord for the healing of the sickness of their soul, that is, for the forgiveness of their sins. Again, the multitude remains for 3 days with the Lord, when the multitude of the faithful, departing through repentance from the sins they have committed, turn to the Lord in thought, word, and deed. These the Lord will not send fasting to their homes, lest they faint in the way. For those who are converted from sin faint in the way of this present life, if they are sent away without the food of his holy teaching in their souls. Therefore, lest they should grow weak on the journey of this earthly pilgrimage, they must be fed with holy counsels. We must therefore meditate deeply upon the sacred teaching that proceeds from the lips of truth when he says, For some of them came from afar off. For it is such as have nothing to do with evil doing and carnal corruption, who hasten to serve the omnipotent God. Who does not come from afar off, who through innocence and integrity of soul was already close to God? Another, free from unchastity, stained by no evil, who has known only marriage, devotes himself to the works of the Spirit. Neither does he come from afar off. For by reason of his service to God, he does not wander far from him after things forbidden. Then there are those who, after the sins of the flesh, after having given false testimonies, after robberies, after inflicting grievous violence and injury upon others, after committing murders, turn to repentance and become converted to the servants of Almighty God. Such as these come to God from afar off. For the more a man has strayed in doing what is evil, the further off he is from God. Food is therefore given even to those who come from afar off. For the food of holy instruction must be offered to those who are converted from sin, that they may regain in God the strength they lost in evil doing. The Jews, however, those of them who believed in Christ, came to him from close at hand, for they had learned of him from the writings of the law and of the prophets. They, however, who believed from the Gentiles, did truly come from afar off to Christ, for no sacred pages from the past had prepared them to believe in him. And he asked them, "How many loaves have you?" who said, "Seven." Fittingly do we find seven loaves set before us in the mystery of the New Testament, in which the sevenfold grace of the Holy Spirit is made known, to be believed by all the faithful, and being believed it is given to them. Nor were these barley loaves that were put before them, as were the other five loaves, for which 5,000 men were filled, lest the vital food of grace be obscured, as under the law, by corporal rites. For the pith of the barley is enclosed in a very unyielding husk. And he commanded the multitude to sit down upon the ground. In the former feeding of the multitude from five loaves, the people sat upon green grass. Now that they are being nourished from the seven loaves, they are commanded to sit down upon the ground. For in the scriptures of the law, we are commanded to restrain and tread down the desires of the flesh. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory thereof as the flower of grass. Ecclesiasticus. But in the New Testament, we are commanded to forsake all our temporal goods and even the world itself. And also, because the mount on which the multitude was fed by the Lord's loaves signifies, as we have said, the sublimity of our Redeemer. There men sat upon grass, here upon the ground. But there, for there the sublimity of Christ is obscured by carnal hope and desire, because of carnal men and the earthly Jerusalem. Here, however, putting away all carnal desires, and with no grass intervening, the solidity of the mount itself, as the foundation of our enduring hope, is the sustenance of the guests of the New Testament. And taking the seven loaves, the Lord, receiving the loaves, began to give them to the disciples, so that they, when they received them, might set them before the people. For in giving to the apostles the gifts of spiritual understanding, he wishes that the food of life should be distributed to the church throughout the world by their ministry. That he broke the loaves which he gave to his disciples signifies the revelation of the sacraments by which the world was to be nourished into life everlasting. For since the Lord himself says, "And no one knoweth the Son but the Father, neither doth anyone know the Father but the Son, and he to whom it shall please the Son to reveal him." What does he mean if not that the bread of life is to be made known to us by him, and that of ourselves we are unable to come to the knowledge of the inward things of God? And the prophet, grieving because of the miserable hunger of some of his people, cried out, "The little ones have asked for bread, and there was none to break it to them." Lamentations. In other words, he is saying that the uninstructed have looked for the food of the word of God, that being fed in on it, they might have the strength to do good works. But for want of teachers, there was no one to open to them the hidden things of the scriptures, and to lead them along the way of truth. And the Lord, receiving the loaves that he might break them, gives thanks, that he may show how greatly he rejoices over the salvation of mankind, and also to teach us that we should give thanks to God at all times, either when our bodies are fed with earthly bread, or when our souls are fed with heavenly grace from above. And they had a few little fishes. If the scriptures of the New Testament are indicated in the seven loaves, in the reading of which we find, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, the inward fruit of the soul, what are we to understand of the little fishes which the Lord blessed, and also commanded to be set before the people, if not the saints of that time in which the scriptures were composed, and whose faith and lives and sufferings are contained in the same scriptures? They who were caught up from the troubled waters, troubled waves of this world, and sanctified with the divine blessing, and who have by the example of their lives and of their deaths provided us with inward food, lest we should perish in the course of our journey through this world. and they did eat and were filled. They ate of the loaves and fishes of the Lord and were filled, who, hearing the word of the Lord and meditating on his parables, rouse themselves and rise up from their sleep because of them and hasten toward a better way of life. And with these things, the words of the psalmist fittingly accord, where he says, the poor shall eat and be filled. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Their heart shall live forever and ever. Psalms. As though he said, the humble of heart will hear the word of the Lord and do it. And they will refer all the good they do, not to their own praise, but to the praise and glory of their heavenly benefactor. And so justly, as being fed with the bread of life, they will attain to that eternal life which is of the inward man. But those who hear the word of God and neglect it, he reproaches by the mouth of the prophet Micaiah, thou shalt eat, but shall not be filled. For they eat and are not filled, who hearing it, taste the bread of the word of the Lord, but not doing what they hear, they receive into the stomach of their memory nothing of that inward sweetness by which their soul would be strengthened. And they took up that which was left. The apostles gathered up what was left after the multitude had eaten, and they filled seven baskets with the remains of the fragments. For these symbolize the precepts of higher perfection, or rather the exhortations or counsels which the common multitude of the faithful could not attain to, by observing and fulfilling them. Their fulfillment is rightly to be looked for from those who, because they are filled with greater graces by the Holy Spirit, surpass in loftiness of soul and good works the common turning of sinful man to God in repentance. To such as these it is said, if thou wilt be perfect, go sell all that thou hast. St. Matthew. And so it was well said that the baskets in which the fragments of the Lord's food were gathered up are seven in number, because of the sevenfold gifts of the Holy Ghost. For as baskets are usually woven from reeds and palm leaves, they are aptly used to symbolize the saints. For reeds are usually found in water, the palm in the hands of the victor. And the elect are fittingly compared to reed baskets, since they plant the root of their heart in the fountain of life itself, lest the love of eternity wither within them. And they are likened to baskets woven from palm leaves, since with a pure heart they keep forever before them the remembrance of eternal punishment. And justly is it said of the multitude that they could not partake of the fragments of the Lord's Supper which remained, yet they did eat and were filled. For there are those who, though unable to leave all things, or to take up them and to take upon them what is laid down for virgins, he that can take it, let him take it, St. Matthew, and other things of this kind, nevertheless, eating and drinking justice, they are filled, when through obeying the commandments of the law of God, they attain to eternal life, by the grace and favor of Jesus Christ our Lord, who with the Father and the Holy Ghost lives and reigns, God, forever and ever. Amen.